receive from your word. We acknowledge and honor your word this morning as life-changing, as transformational truth to our hearts, to our minds, and to our lives. We receive the word. We're willing to and open to and receptive to your word today. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who will anoint our eyes and ears to see, hear, and our heart to comprehend and understand the things outlined in your word. We thank you for the anointing that shall destroy every yoke of bondage. And we thank you, Father, for utterance supernaturally to say the right things to say and hear the right things in the right mind and attitude and demeanor. We thank you, Father, for this privilege. We thank you for this opportunity. We reverence your word. We give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, you may be seated. Today, again, on Mother's Day, we're talking about a mother who was expecting. So we're talking about faith of an expecting mother. So we're talking about Sarah today. Abraham's wife, whose name was changed, by the way, a few years before when he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, father of many nations. And from Sarai to Sarah, which means mother of a multitude. Amen. And so God was calling her a mother before she ever became a mother. Because he had made her one. And see, God does not, ladies, mothers, grandmothers, he doesn't make you a mother by accident. You're a mother because God saw you eons ago as a mother. And he wants you to be expectant of him to do great things through your ministry of motherhood in your life. Isn't that beautiful? Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him what? Faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man and him who as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in a multitude innumerable as the sand is by the seashore. So let's examine here, dear friends, and explore Sarah's faith and expectation as she believed and received the miracle of a child after being barren for 89 years. Sarah had a baby at 90. You don't hear about that today. And became the mother after 89 years of life and 25 years after she received the promise through her husband to have a child. She had to wait 25 years. She had to endure those 65 years of being called, basically, in that culture, a dead woman. Because culturally, to be barren was worse than being dead to a woman. It was to be labeled as what? Someone who God has cursed and not has blessed. Are you listening to me? So think of it for a moment. She had to demonstrate remarkable patience to wait for the manifestation of this child through her own barrenness condition and her husband's condition. She had to endure the pain and persecution of her handmaid's ability to have a child and the mistake she made by giving the handmaid Hagar to her husband. Could you imagine? She's trying to help God out because she says, well, I just can't seem to have a baby. So I'm going to help God out. Why don't you have a baby by my handmaid? Then she does, and then the handmaid, starts looking down at her. So don't think Sarah didn't have any problems or pain. She had to navigate the problems and pressures she and Abraham encountered as they went to Egypt. You know, when they went to Egypt the first time, you know, Pharaoh didn't have any undesirable women, I'll just put it that way, in his harem. He had the best looking women. Come on, ladies. He had the best looking women in his harem. And so he saw Sarah, and she's old at this time, and so he thinks she's a fox. Now, you got to be a little dated to get that reference. I think y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? And so Abraham knew it because that was a tradition. The king got the best-looking women to be with him. So this Pharaoh automatically made his move. He saw her coming in town. She's mine. So he told his wife, tell him you're my sister. Why? Because he was having struggles with weakness and fear. A man going to give up his wife to get violated by a king, a Pharaoh, just so he can survive and live? Well, that was a culture back then. So she had to navigate through that and listen to her husband and follow her husband's direction, which was not right because he lied. But God protected through his sovereignty and through his grace. Amen. Then after the Lord told them, you're going to have a child this time next year. And they in the window of getting pregnant. And they go visit Abimelech, the king of Gerar. She's 89. Now, I want to see the picture of that. Because Abimelech says, wait a minute, I want this woman. She's 89 years old, 88, 89, around that time frame, and he wants her. And then, of course, God had to intervene again because he told her, tell him you're my sister. Praise the Lord. See how much she had to endure? So, and she also had to deal with the issues with their family. I know nobody else has had problems with family or pain from family because they had to get rid of the nephew and their bunch. In the end, Sarah saw and witnessed God's amazing faithfulness as she judged him faithful to do what he said he would do, to fulfill his promise personally. Listen to me, ladies, men, personally to her. Amen. She had to judge him what? Faithful. She found God faithful and true to his promises, his protection, and his provision over the course of the time when he made his promise. Like Sarah, we too have the other side of God to ascertain and experience for ourselves personally. Because see, one side is what? God is able. Most people will have a shorter time frame to really believe that God is able to do this. Can God do this? Can God heal? Yes. Can God do a miracle? Yes. Can God restore my child? Yes. Can God revive my relationship and my marriage? Yes. Some of us believe God can do it, but the rub, the real challenge, listen to me, is the other side that Sarah had. Because she just saw her husband have a baby with a handmaid when he's old too. She probably said, well, you know, his stuff worked with somebody else. I'm sanitizing it now. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. It didn't work with me. God is able. But she had to personalize and internalize the promise and say, will he do it for me. So the other side is God is faithful. Well, that means he's dependable, he's reliable, he's trustworthy, he's absolutely good to do it for me. He's willing to do it. He's not. It's not about God can do it and God is able to do it, but God will do it because he said it. He'll do it for me. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. That's the other side of our faith. In other words, he's dependable, completely reliable, absolutely good, gracious, and God is just, trustworthy who he is. He's what he's promised and provided for us. God is faithful. Everybody say God is faithful. What does it mean when you say God is faithful? It means he does not lie. He never changes. He's always the same, and he never fails. So when you say God is faithful, you're saying God does not lie. Why? Because he's not a man that he should lie, or it's impossible for God to lie. Come on now. So what he said is true, whether you see it as fact or not. It is true. Let God be true and everything else and everyone else a liar. Amen. If God said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good for you. Amen. He never changes. He said, if I'm the God that heals you, then what? 2021, May the 9th, he is the God who heals you. Hallelujah. If he's your shepherd, way back when David saw God as his shepherd and he shall not lack, guess what? 2021, May the 9th, and the whole month of May and the whole year of 2021, he is my what? Shepherd, and I what? I shall not lack. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He doesn't change. He's always the same. He's always there. Because he said what? I will never leave you, nor what? Forsake. So you could never count God to be absent. He's always there. He's always there. That means he's not going to leave you physically or take his heart away from you compassionately and caringly. He's not going to remove his heart from you. That means you're always going to be on his heart and on his mind. That means he's always going to be have you in the best interest of his heart, and he's going to be full of compassion and care towards you. Everybody say God is faithful, and he never fails. So I like to say it this way: our Father God is too faithful to fail. So that's what Sarah, I believe, came up with in her summarization. Over the years of seeing God's protection, when she was given to kings to be violated and to be taken from her husband. That was a culture back then. We can't just point the finger blame at Abraham, but that was the way they did things back then. So she protected her. He provided for her. He provided for her husband. And she looked back over the years and saw God do what he said he would do. And she changed her heart and her belief system to say, God is faithful. God is faithful. Somebody say, praise God. Now, so we have to look at it today. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, the temptations of your life are no different from what others experienced. Because sometimes we think our situation is unique. God, why did you allow this to happen to my kids and my family or my grandchildren? Why do I have to deal with all this chaos and craziness and conflicts? That's what really burdens a mother's heart. But he said, and God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful. Seven times in the New Testament, you have to look it up. Seven times in the New Testament, the Bible says God is faithful. He's perfect. Listen to me. He's perfect in faithfulness. He's perfect in faithfulness. He said he will not allow you to be tempted out of the temptation to be more than you can stand. Everybody say, I'm in it so I can handle it. Me and God together can get through this. That's what you got to say that. Every time your first response needs to be, God wouldn't allow me to be here if he didn't equip me and empower me to handle this. Amen. You're engineered to handle this. You're wired to go through this with God for him to get the glory and for you to get the victory. Amen. Amen. He said he didn't allow you to tempt it more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so you can endure it. Now, he's not talking about getting out. He talks about going through. But what do you get out of? You get out of the pain and the pressure of it to the point to where you say, I quit. I doubt God can ever change this. I doubt he can ever do this. This is too hard for even God to take care of. You've got to be like Sarah and say, God is what? Faithful. See, if you in your current situation, you can handle it. God engineered and wired you as a mom to effectively deal with it and develop your faith and faithfulness as you go and grow through this. Now, let's talk about some of these things, because Sarah, we said, I just gave you a quick summary of her problems, of her pressures, of her pain, of her growth opportunity. 25 years, she's waiting for the promise to manifest. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. And in 13 years after Hagar had Ishmael, it seemed like God went silent. Ishmael was a work of the flesh. That means you did it your way, not God's way. And listen, when you do works of the flesh, when you have your Ishmaels, sometimes God will go silent because he says, I want you to get back out of the flesh and out of your feelings and back into faith. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to get back into faith. Hallelujah. And sometimes the heaven will shut up and close up and it seems like, God, you there? Have you gone home yet? Are you disappeared in my life? Because he's waiting for you to change from flesh and feelings to faith. Amen. Let me speak to the mothers and grandmothers for a moment. Dear mothers, it's easy to become emotionally drained. I think you all can agree. Spiritually depleted and physically fatigued living in the ministry of motherhood. Because every child doesn't come out cookie cutter, and a copy of how you kind of conditioned it or predicted it to come out. The same person that you nurtured, perhaps, is now a nuisance in your life. And it's easy to become emotionally drained, spiritually depleted, physically fatigued. Because you weren't made a mother by accident. God knew it. God knew exactly what he was doing when he wired you as a woman and called you to be a mother. You have to step into that ministry of motherhood from the time that that child is conceived in your womb. Come on now. To the time that that child goes on to heaven, or you precede that child in heaven. You're a mother. Amen. And some of us graduated to grand, and some of us have reached another degree of great. Great grandmother. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Isn't that a glorious place to be? See, when those kinds of things start happening like they did to Sarah, there are three characteristics that tell us we're in a danger zone. And for all people, really, but particularly in the ministry or entering into the ministry of motherhood. Because what happens? Ladies, come on, talk to me. Everything becomes a problem. The whole world sinks. Amen. Are y'all out there? There's a hesitancy to reach out because the number of times you've reached out and somebody and somehow your good intentions were abused. People said, what's wrong with you? Get with it. But you're hurting. Or you're just going through the motions. You're in the motions of motherhood, but you've opted out of the ministry of motherhood. This is a high calling. And it's much needed today. So growing in your faith and faithfulness, like Sarah, entails four areas. Number one, your purpose. Why do you do what you do? Why do you think God designed and wired men and women? Now, I know I'm not trying to be negative or throw a kink in the message, but so many people are trying to change and transfer their gender. You have to align on how you've been assigned and how you've been designed. God gave you the design for a distinct and divine purpose. Amen. Are you listening to me? You can't change your design and figure I'm going to change who God wired me to be, because he didn't make anything. God didn't make anything for the fun of it. And if he made you a woman and he called you to be a mother by, you know, you having a child or adopting a child, however you became a mother, then that is a divine purpose. Everybody say purpose. Why you do what you do. Your purpose must be expanding. You can't be the same level of mother that you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, depending on how long you've been a mother, or 20 years ago. You can't be the same old mother, because those kids aren't little babies anymore. You can't control, coddle, and carry them like you've been doing. Because, see, without purpose, listen to me, ladies, listen to me, men, with the day-to-day stuff, stress, and situations alone will crush you. Now, if you heard me talk any at length of time, you know I always reiterate this. When the devil can't make you bad, a bad mother, he'll make you a busy mother. See, without purpose, pretty soon the day-to-day stuff will overwhelm you. And you'll be totally lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing. Why do you break down the word of God? Why do you sing to that child? Why do you break down the scriptures? Why do you speak the name of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus over them? You're in the ministry. Why do you call those things which be not as though they were? You're in the ministry. Why, when you lay that child down to sleep and go in the bedroom where it's down to sleep, and you put your hand and hover over them and pray the prayer of blessing and pray the prayer of faith over them? You're in the ministry. Why, when you're in your rocking chair or you're in your living room on your couch and you're thinking about that child that went off the reservation or went wild or went wicked, and you just say, Lord, wherever they're at, I surround them with faith and love. Praise God. I speak the name of Jesus over their spirit, soul, and body right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over them. You're in the ministry. Amen. Without purpose, pretty soon the day-to-day stuff will overwhelm you, and you truly lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing. Life will go out of it, and your strength will be lost. And there's too many mothers that have quit. They've thrown in the white towel. They said, I'm not fooling with these kids anymore. Or grandkids. Or well, praise God. Let's keep going. There's three things that diminish purpose. Number one is dread or drudgery, the day-to-day duties and details. Your phone calls, emails, text meetings, communication issues, you know, you don't understand what they're going through or going on, laundry, cooking, cleaning. Y'all here? And you can't dread it. Once you start dreading it, you're going to diminish your purpose. I said, you got to have anointed hands and an anointed, a happy heart, a joyful heart when you're doing laundry, when you're doing dishes, when you're cooking the food, because the secret sauce is L-O-V-E. If you don't love the ministry of motherhood, you'll never operate in excellence of ministry as a mother. You can't dread it. Even if they come out looking crazy and you tell them, put your clothes on, and they dress, look like they're out in outer space somewhere. Praise God. You got to smile and say, I'm walking in love. When you cook your, when you put your toe in it and cook your best meal and you put it in front of them and they say, well, I don't like this, and they spit it out and nobody appreciates it, the couple of hours you spent cooking, you got to say, I'm walking in love. I love them. You love them. I what? I forgive them. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. You must stay fresh, focused, and faithful in your thinking. Because the one thing you start thinking, ladies, that nobody appreciates me, nobody loves me, nobody cares the sacrifices I put in, you're going to start dreading the ministry of motherhood. Whew. Don't shout me out. I'm preaching real good today. Praise God. Number two, distractions. It's the purpose that takes you away from your purpose. Like I said, the devil can't, if he doesn't make you bad, he what? Makes you busy. And you walk around stressed and struggling all day long. And you're on the edge of an anxiety attack. This is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. Because every mother, I believe, has a dream that they have for their children. They have a desire of their heart. Well, God will give you, God's the one giving you that desire. That godly, holy desire to see your children serving God. To see the next generation carrying the baton and torch for Jesus. But if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you a busy mom. And a busy body. And distractions is the destruction of your dream in slow motion. And so instead of seeing your dream, you're seeing a nightmare. The reason we struggle to find out our purpose is that there are too many things crying and vying for our focus in life. The number third thing that diminishes the purpose is disruptions. Everybody say disruptions. So I said dread, distractions, and now disruptions. Disruptions, these are life's unexpected interruptions of the normal course of unity. It means to be thrown into disorder. Life happens to all of us, right? Some people are more control-oriented or more organized than others, and they get real irritated. You know, sometimes they label it as OCD. I think that's obsessive compulsive disorder. So they obsess over everything being right, everything being organized, everything going on schedule, and when a wrench gets thrown into the schedule, I'm like, oh, that's a disruption. See, all these kinds of things will pile up, and eventually you'll become preoccupied with the idea that your life, your motherhood, your grandmotherhood, your ministry, your job, or your business is a problem and not a purpose. And you say, motherhood's a problem, so I want to check out. See, if you're not purposeful in what is unimportant, you'll lose all sense of purpose in life. I remember a mother who was having the trouble with her daughter who had gotten with the wrong crowd and was running around skipping school and doing drugs. And she needed her daughter delivered. Not only from the wicked people that she was running with, but she needed her delivered from drugs. So she saw an opportunity while she was doing her daughter's laundry and making up her daughter's room, the bed, because she would leave her bedroom a tornado. Anybody ever seen your child's room like a tornado been through it? Don't raise your hand. Praise God. We don't want to. So she got together and hooked up with her pastor, And she said, you know, while I'm touching her clothes, can we lay hands on her clothes? Yes. Can we anoint her? Yes, we can do that. So he laid hands on every single piece of clothing in her closet and her bed sheets and her pillow. Prayed the prayer of faith, agreed that she comes back in this room. She ran away. She's running off, going crazy and going wild. And she come back in this room. She's gonna sense that God is here. Daughter snuck back in. She snuck through the window. You know, don't come through the front door. Sneak through the window. She left the window unlocked so she know her daughter can come back in. See, she heard her come in the room. Well, come in the room. She gets in the bed. Her mom hears her scream. Ah! Ah! She says, "What's in here?" And she's laughing. She's just praising God. Jesus is in there. Remember how they sung today? Beautiful job by the praise team, right? Jesus is in this room. Praise God. And she transformed and changed that girl because that girl called her mom in and said, she said, "I feel convicted of my sins. I'm so sorry, mama." She just fell to her knees at her mama's feet, started repenting and calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. That's a woman in the ministry of motherhood. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Second thing, and I'm going to try to get these four in with close. Passion. Everybody say passion. Because this is growing and developing in faith and faithfulness as a mother. Passion. Everybody say passion again. For whom do you do what you do? Your passion must be growing. Now, your purpose must be expanding, but your passion must be growing. Now, I think today's culture is going the opposite way sometimes because we don't like the conditions and the cares that our family brings. We don't like when the mother calls or the child calls because they always think it's a problem. We lost our passion. Amen. We must keep a passion for the lost and the lonely and those that are languishing in sin in our families. Oh, praise the Lord. See, without passion, the problems in life will overwhelm you. Now, there's a biblical passion principle in Colossians 3, verse 23 through 24. It says, whatever you do, cooking, washing dishes, folding clothes, sharing with your kids, making up your bed, serving your husband, serving your kids. Do it what? Heartily. As to the Lord, as not to who? This is how you keep your passion. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the what? Reward of inheritance, for you serve who? The Lord Christ. Passion is extreme zeal, fervency, or strong conviction or devotion. Passion will move people beyond themselves, beyond their shortcomings, and beyond their failures. If you don't guard your heart, those ungrateful and sometimes disrespectful children, or the insensitive and unappreciative husband, or those gossiping relatives, come on now, or someone's negative or nasty social media posts will make you lose your passion. I think I covered all the bases. Ladies, mothers, if Jesus is speaking into your life, then there is a fire. But if there's no fire, ladies, then you're drifted too far. Listen to what Romans 12:11 says in the Passion Translation. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion, listen this, toward him, how? Boiling hot. Radiate the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. He fills you with excitement when you serve as unto him. You serve those kids and talk to those kids like you're talking to Jesus. You serve your husband and honor your husband like you're talking to. Hallelujah. You know, the culture today is a very dishonoring culture. And so you figure, well, the kids talk to me dishonoring, that gives me the right to dishonor them or disrespect them. No, it doesn't. Well, praise the Lord. Passion is nothing about it's like pouring gas in a car with no wheels. Passion about nothing is like pouring gas in a car with no wheels. You're not going to go anywhere. If you've been mad, if you've been moody, if your mind is bouncing all over the place, then you're miserable, check your passion. We have to stay close enough to God so that we can hear his voice. Otherwise, we've wandered too far. Ladies, mothers, you know, and fathers, we'll talk more about the fathers on Father's Day. You got to hear God for your kids. But if you're not hearing Jesus, then you drifted too far from Jesus. Consider this, ladies, mothers. If your gift of motherhood and grandmotherhood is growing stale, or you are struggling, then it's a sign that your heart hasn't been stirred. Because the passion of Jesus is in your heart, along with his presence. But you have to stir up the gift that's in you. You have to stir up the gift. And how do you stir it? Through the mixture of your tongue. So sometimes through tears and looking in the mirror at yourself, and somebody just called you out of your name, or they talked to you out of the side of the neck, or maybe perhaps your own loved ones cuts you out. You got to say, I'm anointed and an appointed mother. I'm a mother with the hand of God upon my life. I have the gift and ministry of motherhood in my heart. I stir up the gift. That's faith. What did Sarah do when God changed her name from Sarai to Sarah? She started calling herself Sarah. She started calling her husband not Abram, but Abraham. Abraham, so father of a multitude. She called him father before he became a father. She called herself a mother before she became a mother. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. Praise God. It's not based on your feelings or your flesh. It's based on your faith. According to your faith, it will be unto you. So if you're growing stale or you're struggling, or if you want to say, look, God, I'm taking a vacation from motherhood for permanent. No. Your heart needs to be stirred again. Third is patience. Everybody say patience. How long do you do what you do? Your patience has to be able to stretch. Now, how many of y'all know, men and women, y'all know, mothers, fathers, you need patience with children and grandchildren. Now, let me tell you something. Impatience and immaturity go hand in hand. So you're not growing in faith or faithfulness if you are impatient and intolerant and irritated by people in your family. Because that's your first ministry. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So your patience has to be stretching. So you have to say, well, Lord, somebody pray those prayers. Lord, give me patience. But the Bible says this, tribulation works patience. So when you pray for patience, you're praying for trouble. Because trouble makes you grow in patience. Now, most people misinterpret it and say, well, I'm growing impatient. Because they should have been got their act together. They should be talking to me better. They should be respecting me more. It just means you're impatient. Patience is not drumming your fingers on the desk or table saying, come on, God, when are you going to get these kids back in line? Well, some of us may use a few adjectives in the middle. When are you going to get these blank, blank kids back in line? I didn't cuss, all right? Let's put blanks there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your patience has to be stretching. Patience is the wife like a to faith like a wife is to be to her husband. Because James tells us this. when, not if, count it all joy when you fall into difficulties, knowing this, that the testing of your faith or the trying of your faith produces what? So for God to make you more patient, he has to test your faith. And how many ladies, mothers could raise your hand and say your children have tested your faith? Hallelujah. Y'all can't see in the hands online, but praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Your patience has to stretch. See, without patience, the little things will eat away with you. Your patience, cheerful endurance must be larger than your frustration. Learning to rejoice, learning the spiritual discipline of forgiving and moving on, that's a spiritual discipline. Let love and dominate your thoughts, words, and actions. That helps you grow in patience. Now, here's 5 points to learning and growing in patience. You got to reflect on how God responded to you. Wasn't God patient in you? When you were in the club dropping it like it's hot? When you were cheating and lying and stealing? When you were fornicating? Everybody got quiet then. You got to reflect on how God has responded to you. Was God patient with you? So he'll give you the same patience with your family. Number two, you remember what's at stake. What's at stake? Their souls. God's counting on you, moms. God's counting on you, mother, grandmother, to be an instrument of intercession, and that he can use a vessel to steer those kids into the kingdom, into God's purposes, and to walk and fulfill God's plan. That's your ministry. Stop thinking that they're just my kids, my grandkids. No, yes, they've been assigned to you, and you're a steward over them, but they belong to the Lord. So, Lord, my ministry is to make them ready for you, to get them ready to serve you. Realize that there are a few issues worth fighting over, and I would say the livelihood and the life of your family and your kids is worth fighting over. To stand your ground in faith over. Then, two, you got to react to people by understanding that love is bigger and greater than opinions and preferences. So sometimes, you know how we get bitter and bothered in our parenting, and we lose perspective on our parenting responsibilities. So we start breaking down the law and beating them over the head with the Bible. But what's bigger than our opinion? Because sometimes we think, as the parent, we should have the last say and the final word. But see, we have to wean them off of us and wean them onto the Holy Ghost and wean them onto the truth of Scripture. But how do we do that without telling them? No, you got to use the wisdom that operates through love to do it. You can't lecture them into the kingdom. You can't beat the hell out of them. Are you listening to me? You can't legislate morality into them and say, these are the rules of the house. But it's better to have a relationship and righteousness in the heart. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. This is good stuff. Amen. Number five, recognize God is at work even when you don't see it. See, faith, just like Sarah had to judge him faithful, she had to see God's at work even when I don't think or see and feel him at work. Because he said he'll do what he said he'll do. He'll do what he said he'll do. He will perform what he said he has planned. He will accomplish his purpose, and his purposes will prevail when it looks like things have failed. So you got to see God at work and know he's at work even though you don't feel him or you don't sense him at work. You got to say, God is at work because we prayed. I have an agreement with him. I'm in covenant with God. Come on now. I have the name of Jesus. I pled the blood. I've spoken the word over my children, and his word is not going to come back void. Now let's close with this last point. Y'all get something out of this today? Number four, prayer. This is how you do what you do. Prayer must increase. Now, let me talk to the mothers particularly. You've been wired to, and you've been wired and equipped with to be a prayer. Well, I can't pray. Yeah, you can. Why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit's a helper. You got a personal trainer, a life coach called the Holy Spirit, who will come along and help you to pray effectively as a mother, as a grandmother, as a great-grandmother. Are you listening to me? See, that prayer has to increase. We even put out the books by Dr. Gerald Brooks. I think there's one left on the table. You know, five prayers you pray over your children. We put it out on a YouVersion Bible app. Why? Because don't expect that the world is praying for your children. I remember some ladies in past had said this. They said that before they went to school, they sent their prayers to school ahead of their children. And when the children came home from school, their prayers were wrapped around them, and so because sometimes they had to deprocess the world because they went to Egypt. So they come back into they had to come back home, and you had to help get them back into Christ. Because if you don't get the Egypt out of them, they're gonna live like they in Egypt. Somebody said, glory to God. And so your prayer has to increase to more than just, Lord, help and bless my children. Without prayer, your loving others compassionately and leading your family courageously and fearlessly is bigger than you. See, it's a mismatch. Life will tower over you, and there's no way to defend yourself aside from prayer. Authentic, faith-filled motherhood begins with prayer. Mothers, grandmothers, you have to love and lead your children and grandchildren where it counts. If you can't pray for them, you can't lead them. Most prayer lists, perhaps, are reactive. We get to praying when we got a problem, when we got pain, when we got predicaments in our family. But they're the result of something that's already happening or is happening. See, if your prayers is just about present promises, then the Holy Spirit's not dictating your prayer life. The devil is. Because if you only respond to the devil interfering in your family or interfering in your life for you to pray, then he's dictating your prayer life. Because he says, all I got to do is just keep the peace. Let them have a little bit of peace and calm, and they won't pray. Then when I come in and raise all kind of a storm in that house, then they're going to run to God and try to pray reactively and never proactively. Glory to God. See, with prayer, we deal with events before they happen. You got a young grandchild. Most of us have grandchildren, or some have young children here. You pray ahead. What kind of friends they gonna you want them to have? What kind of people do you want them to hang around when they become teenagers? What kind of dates do you want them to go on? Are you praying for their mate that God would give them a helper suitable and adaptable to do the will and work of God for their life? The rest of their life to join with them. If you don't pray it, God won't answer it. If you don't ask, you'll never receive. Are you listening to me? You think about it. You think about Mark Hankins tells about the story about his mom. She used to sit in that little rocking chair. She said he sat at home, and he would bring girls home from school. And his mother wouldn't like him because he said, brought one girl home. She had, y'all know this phrase, Daisy Dukes on. Anybody ever watch Dukes of Hazzard? Okay, y'all remember Daisy Dukes. Okay, that's what kind of where the phrase came from. So Daisy, she had short shorts. She wasn't dressed appropriately at the time. And, of course, soon as she came through the door, he said, "Hi, Mom, this is so-and-so." And she said, boldly, sitting in that rocking chair, rocking, I plead the blood. Now, others like Kenneth E. Hagin did the same thing. You know, he said, Pastor Hagin said, you bring a different girl home. And he knew this woman is going to take him from God out of the will of God. Because when you're in the ministry of motherhood or fatherhood, you have discernment. Because you have the Holy Spirit. And he saw that this woman was not good for him in his future. And he just nodded and didn't say a word to her. But he went back in the bedroom and prayed her away. He said he prayed girlfriend after girlfriend away. Until the right one came, he smiled, he pinched her, and said, "Hi." She finally come. But how many know the devil will bring all kinds of people into your children's lives? And relationships will either make you or mar you. They will make you or break you. Your relationship, your closest relationship, is a determining factor of the outcomes of your life. They'll either take you further from or closer to the will of God for your life. Who you hang around matters. So praying ahead is praying for the people that's going to interdict and come into contact with your child's life. Amen. And then, of course, when Trina Hankins came into the house, he brought her home from Bible college, introduced his mom. "Mom, this is Trina." At that time, she was Bierman. Beautiful families, both Biermans and Hankins. And came in, he said, "Thank God for the blood." But she was a praying mama. When Jesse talks about his mom, he run around with a rock and roll brand, snorting and drinking and boozing and carousing and womenizing. He was married and womenizing. But his mama was praying. He down in Mexico, foreign country, going under code name Jerry Jackson. That was his stage name. It was not Jesse Duplantis. So they knew him as Jerry Jackson. He was rock and roll band. They out there. And it's the lady was dancing. She didn't have any clothes on. I'm trying to make it clean. All right. She didn't have any clothes on. She danced on the table. They all looking at her. And then some phone rings behind the bar. Ring, ring, ring. And the bartender picks it up. And he said, "Is there a Jesse Duplantis here? Is there a Jesse Duplantis here?" And one of his band members said, "Hey man, isn't that your real name?" He said, "Nobody knows me by that name, you know, in this group, in this crowd." And so he answered the phone, and who was on the phone? His mama. His praying mama was on the phone, and she told him, "Son, you need to get out of there, da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And you know, today, you know what Jesse's doing. Preaching the gospel all over the world. Mamas, you have a great place in God. Let's close with this thought. Mothers, grandmothers, if you can't take your children or grandchildren where you haven't gone before, and if you're not in the throne room, like that beautiful song they sung today, you won't be taking anyone. Praise God. Stand to your feet, please. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the opportunity to be a blessing to mothers today, to honor them.